Today on Real Radio.
Regarding this wonderful book, it highlights, no doubt about it, with great detail, the fact that Jesus is coming again. Can you write that down? Jesus is coming again. The first thing that begins to happen right now in this sanctuary is that there's a line being drawn in a heart, as it were. Many of us know the Bible, and we can't wait for Jesus to come again. A lot of people don't know Jesus, and when they hear that Jesus is coming again, they get nervous. They don't understand, or maybe they're not ready.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins a brand new study series in the book of Revelation. This very last book of Scripture is an unusual part of God's Word. It is written in a way completely different than any other part of the Bible. And yet we ought not to avoid it. After all, it is Revelation. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Book Among Books.
Just look with me, chapter 1, where there it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a comma. Stop right there. That's as far as we need to go. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Look to the top of your page. What does it say there? Some of your Bibles, if it says the revelation of St. John the Divine, have you seen that? Did anybody see that in their Bible? Some of your Bibles say that. That's not Bible. That was written by the publishers of your Bible. It's not the revelation of John. The word revelation, apocalypse, is the word to unveil. Unfortunately, in our culture, the word apocalypse has very dangerous and foreboding and scaring type of wording to it and thought with it, the apocalypse. And people have this tendency to go, ah, you know, the apocalypse. Well, it wasn't to be that way according to God. The revelation or apocalypse of Jesus Christ is good news. It is the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what this book's all about. You say, well, Pastor Jack, isn't that what the Gospels are all about? Yes, the Gospels are about that, certainly. But in your mind's eye or on your note paper, jot this down. There's the revelation of Jesus Christ as he came in the Gospels. That was his mission, to save us from our sins. He died on the cross in the Gospels. He rose again from the dead in the Gospels. But it's not until the book of Acts that we see him ascending up back into heaven, and it is the book of Revelation that teaches us that Jesus is enthroned in heaven. See, if we left off at the Gospels, we would have him ascending to where? To do what? The book of Revelation lets us in on what's going on right now in heaven and what's going on in the earth. I don't know about you, but there's something very neat about climbing up in a tree and looking down at things or people. You ever try that? Or how about going up on a roof, a nice high roof, and you look around, you can see the neighborhood. Or you get in a balloon. I remember on vacation last year, I got to parasail, and now I'm hooked on parasailing. The only problem is, do any of you have a parasail I can borrow? It's so cool. It is so fun. Why? One of the things, and I was on this amazing setup and went way up there to the point where you couldn't hear any boats, couldn't hear any people. All you could hear is the wind in your ears and on your face, and you look down and everything became tranquil. You can even get in an airplane and fly over things, and that vantage point of looking down is a very cool thing. The world doesn't seem to be as messed up as it is when we get above it all. But when we look down, there's a great vantage point, a great advantage that we have. And the book of Revelation does that for us in a spiritual sense. From that vantage point, we can look down and we can see the things that God will be bringing upon the earth that will culminate in the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. The Gospels, right now maybe, in evangelistic preaching, maybe at a crusade or the witness of a friend. You hear the Gospel, you are hearing the revelation of Jesus Christ as He relates to you in the forgiveness of your sins. And that has to happen. That must happen. In fact, maybe we're all here this morning because someone took the time to share with us about Jesus Christ. And so we received Him as our Lord and Savior. The book of Revelation introduces us to His rule, to His domain, to His kingdom. It is an awesome book. It is considered the book of books of the Bible. And it is in the opening chapter and in the closing chapter accented with a very special invitation. Blessed will be all those who hear this book and read it. It's the only book of the Bible that says you will be specially blessed if you listen to it, and you'll be specially blessed if you read it. Did everybody hear me? Are you with me, church? If that's true, and it is, then why is it that so many people, so many churches shy away from the book of Revelation, or if they're going to do it at all, they run through it so quick to say that they did it and get it behind them and get on to other things? When it's got a built-in blessing, in my opinion, though we can't stay in this book forever, if we're in this book a long time, that's okay. Lord, bring on the blessings. The more we hear it, the better off we'll be. And you say, well, Pastor, wait a minute. The church that I was at wouldn't even open the book. That has nothing to do with the church by and large. It could be that it scared the death out of the pastor and he wouldn't go there. It could be that he didn't understand it, so he wouldn't go there. Or maybe you're from a denomination that believe it's a closed book. The book of Revelation says, open the book, read it, know it, and understand it. So this morning, as we are, you know, here, there's a Baptist here, there's Lutheran here, Methodist, Catholic, you name it, we're all here under the roof at Calvary. That's the way it is. That's what God's doing. That's fine. That's okay. But listen, what's not okay is for you and I to drag into this book of the Bible our preconceived notions, ideas, the things that we were told by perhaps people or men that this is the way that this book is. God wants you and I to know the book His way. Here's the fun part. Maybe this is why it's not often understood. People pick it up and say, I tried to read it and understand it. You want to know why? The book of Revelation, take a look. Look at your Bible. Look, there's mine. Look at yours. See this part? That's a lot. That's the Bible. This part, book of Revelation. Where do you find it? At the end of the book. The book of Revelation is placed at the end of the Bible because the authorship of it assumes that you've read all the other previous books that precede it. It is the book of Revelation that will bring reference to every other book of the Bible like no other book of the Bible. That's why often people say, well, I read it, I don't understand it. You know what you're saying? Somebody slap me with a stick, I'm stupid. I mean, here I am indicting myself. I don't understand it because I haven't taken time to read the rest of the Bible. That's what it means. Because when you read the Bible and then come to the book of Revelation, you go, ooh, ah, wow, now I see. What's the deal with the seven lampstand menorah that Jesus is walking through the midst of? Hey, you don't get that unless you get way back to Exodus and Leviticus in your Old Testament. Hey, yeah, Pastor, why is there a seven lampstand menorah out in the foyer there? Because the Bible says that's the type of the church, as we'll see in our study in future dates. Jesus says it's like the seven lampstands. They're the churches. I walk through the midst of them. It's an announcement of fellowship. It's an announcement of Christ being among His church. Well, but wait a minute. I read in the book of Exodus that God told Moses to have the seven lampstands in the temple of God or in the tabernacle of God. Yes, and what was it for? To indicate the dwelling of God among His people. The book of Revelation is like that. You'll never understand what's so big about paradise and what's the big deal about heaven and all the wonderful restoration of God's planet when He's going to come and restore this world. Hey, you know what? Listen. As I interrupt myself, somebody remind me where I'm at because I'll truly forget. Did you see those lunatics that blew up those Humvee dealers, those Hummer dealers? The Environmental Liberation Force or Army, whatever they're called. What a hilarious hypocrisy. Hummers eat gas. So they blew up all these buildings and burned like 20 or 25 Hummers with this massive plume of toxic smoke in the air. But we blew up the Hummers. Are you into the environment? If you're into the environment like I'm into the environment, I want Jesus Christ to come back today. You know why? He made trees. He knows how to fix them. He knows how to balance everything out. He made the oceans, all the little fishies in them. He knows all about that. The Bible says in his great second coming, when he comes in, as the book of Revelation shows us, with all of his glory, the Bible says he's going to restore the environment. Keep that in mind. What you see lost in Eden is restored in Revelation. What you see Adam and Eve forfeiting, you see God restoring and bringing back in Revelation. You see a tree of life and all the promises in Genesis lost. You see it all restored in Revelation. You see a sinless state of Adam and Eve entering into sin. What we see is mankind being ultimately delivered from sin and entering into a sinless state in eternity. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be exciting. We should be pumped up about it. So right now, just, you know, take a couple of deep breaths and you can let it all go of however you've been polluted about this book. You'll find it in the Bible. It glorifies Jesus Christ and it lets us in on what's going to be happening and in fact is happening in the world currently. And that's the point I want to bring up regarding our introduction today. Next week, the book. Right now, why? Why the book of Revelation? Why Jesus Christ glorified? The purpose of his return to earth? And why do we claim to be so interested in the future that we'll stand in the store lines and we'll look at those stupid magazines at the end of each year? You know how you come to the conclusion of each year and it's got the 21 predictions for 2004? You ever do that? You ever look at those things? Yes, you do. I look at them. I won't buy them, but I'll look at them. And I'm still, you know what? I got one for you. It comes every year. Elvis is going to return. I'm sick of hearing that. Where is the promise of his return? I mean, he's not coming back. But you know what? This is my prognostication for 2004. Elvis will come back and all this stuff. It's every year. Same thing. Elvis, you know. And what about their predictions? Oh, let's look and see. Hey, look, this guy says this is going to happen. And there's people who believe it, but they won't even open the Bible. They'll say things like this. Hey, you know, Nostradamus said, and you know, Nostradamus, he said, did you know Nostradamus was only 72% in his prophecies? Well, that's pretty good. I guess it's pretty good if you're not inspired by God. The problem was he was not inspired by God. Prophets inspired by God are 100% perfect in their prophecy. The Bible's perfect. The Bible is so exact that it drives people crazy. The book of Daniel and its prophecies are so exact that when the events began to happen, critics began to say the book of Daniel could never have been written in the Old Testament times. It had to be written at the time of these events because it's too perfect. The Holy Spirit sees all things. God knows all things. And so as we dive into this morning, keep this in mind. From the vantage point of God, he presides over everything, just like you, so to speak, would be parasailing over an island. You can see from one end of the island to the other. You can see on the other side of the island. Why? Because of your vantage point. God looks down upon earth from heaven. He's not based upon limitations. He has none of them. He knows everything. He's not a human. See, we began to think that God's really big, really powerful, real strong, and he's got a lot of time. He does not have time where he lives. He doesn't have a Casio or a Timex, and he doesn't have this. There's no old man up there with a big hourglass. You know, he turns it over, and God goes, oh, I'm running out of time. He's got none of that. He is spirit. He's not limited to the physical universe as time is a property. He's beyond it. And nothing is past with God. Nothing is future with God. Nothing is in somehow distant or somehow forthcoming. God lives in what is called the eternal now. He dwells in eternity. Everything is happening before God. This kind of fries our circuits, and it should though. Right now, in the mind of God, everything is the now. The rapture's now in God's mind. He sees it now. The second coming is now. The First World War is now to God. The Second World War, the birth of a nation, the death of a nation, the birth, the death of a child. God's very attribute presides over all these things. And that alone, a Friar Circus, we can't get that. Because you and I live in a timeline. You and I are thinking, that's cool. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, we don't know. We can guess. But God knows. And so as we look to our study this morning, more of an introduction to the book among books. Keep this in mind. Jot it down in your notes. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. God says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am the Lord. There is none like me, no, not one." Declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient times, things that have not yet come to pass. You hear that? That is great. He says, "I will do all my counsel," that is, he will keep every word that he's written, and he said, "I will do those things that please me." Now, aren't you and I blessed to find out that what pleases God is that he wants you and I in heaven with him forever? Can somebody say amen? Just come on. Yeah, let's warm this place up. That's where we're going. We're going to heaven. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. You're a Christian. Look at the sun guys, I'm not, but raise it anyway, okay. You know, we're going to heaven. Have you forgotten? Well, wait a minute, me and my pastor, we're going to go on vacation. How about after vacation? Heaven, man. Better than vacation. Oh, I get married next week. Lord, come quickly. We're going to heaven. We need to be thinking about heaven more. Well, you can become so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I don't know who wrote that, but whoever wrote that was nuts. Our problem is we're so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. We need to be thinking about heaven more. We're going to heaven. We need to sit our kids down and open the Bible and say, "You want to go to heaven?" I heard of a parent saying that one time to a kid. His child, this is a true story. It was in this church. It was hilarious, kind of. The dad accepted the Lord here. He's so excited. And prior to him accepting the Lord, he was a pretty violent dad. And he came out of one of these services here. And he went home and opened up his Bible. He was so excited about heaven and that he was going to heaven. He sat his kid down. He said, "You want to go to heaven?" Kid thought his dad was going to kill him, send him to heaven. "You want to go to heaven?" "Why, Daddy, I didn't do a thing, Daddy. What's the matter, Daddy?" And the dad had to say, "No, son, no, that's not what I meant. When we die, God's going to take us to heaven." A lot of Christians walk around like that. Here we are, we're going to heaven. We're Christians. And we're all bummed out. The truth is, we are going to heaven. That's going to be our home. And Jesus Christ is there right now. The Bible says, preparing a place for us. He's been doing it for 2,000 years. It must be quite a place. We're going there. Unfortunately, a vast majority of the Christian church avoids the book of Revelation. And that ought not to be. And so as we look at it together, we look at our first point in our introduction is this. Regarding this wonderful book, it highlights, no doubt about it, with great detail, the fact that Jesus is coming again. Can you write that down? Jesus is coming again. The first thing that begins to happen right now in this sanctuary is that there's a line being drawn in a heart, as it were. Many of us know the Bible, and we can't wait for Jesus to come again. A lot of people don't know Jesus, and when they hear that Jesus is coming again, they get nervous. They don't understand, or maybe they're not ready for Jesus to come again. But listen, the first thing that we want to recognize about this book, it is the revelation, that is the apocalypse or the unfolding of Jesus Christ, and he will come again. He's coming back. That's what the Bible teaches. So first thing we realize, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back. The scripture says so. In Acts chapter 1, verses 17 through 11, it says there that as Jesus was with them, he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put under his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria." He's going further out in radius from Jerusalem, "and to the ends of the earth." Now, when he had spoken these things, while they were looking at him, Jesus was taken up in a cloud and received up out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven. You know what that means? It means their mouths were hanging open, their eyes were wide open, and they were like, wow. I mean, that's quite amazing. While he was received up and taken out of their sight, two men stood by them in white apparel and said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the exact same one, not an imposter, not someone else, not a lookalike, the same Jesus who was taken up from you to heaven will so come again in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. He's coming again. The Bible says that Jesus will return. Now this morning, you'll either say, amen, that's cool, that's great, or you'll say, oh. It all depends where you are with God. Be thinking as we go through this study, why would you say, oh? And why would you say, oh boy? Why do some people in this sanctuary get excited about it and others are fearful about it? Be judging yourself as we go through this. The Bible says he's going to come again. That's what the book of Revelation is about. The apostles said that he would come again. Paul said in Titus 2:13, for we will all be filled, and we are filled with hope as we await the glorious return of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming back. The apostles said so. Jesus himself said so. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a great promise. Jesus said it himself. The second thing we want to look at, reasons for his return. Okay, if Jesus is coming back, and he will, Bible's never been wrong. Bible says he's coming back. Why is he coming back? You need to know this. Why would Jesus come back? Number one reason, and these are just a few, are political reasons. Truly. Say, Pastor, I don't want to talk about politics. Too bad. Too late. God is into politics. The Bible teaches us that God establishes the boundaries of nations and of powers. Did you know that? The Bible says that God creates nations and he tears nations down. The Bible says he installs kings and removes kings. By the way, it happens in every election. Did you know that? God's in every election. God watches a nation. He gives them leaders based upon what's needed. That's throughout the Old Testament. Well, as you saying, God's a Republican. No way. God is a monarchist, and he's going to establish his kingdom, and President George Bush just happens to be one of the pawns that he's using to establish his kingdom.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in his very first of a study series through the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. Now, since we've just gotten underway on today's broadcast of Real Radio, now is a good time for you to visit us at realradioactive.org and begin archiving these broadcasts for your own personal study, www.realradioactive.org. Now, what this also means is that we have just wrapped up a series through the Gospel of John. And if you'd like to catch up on past studies through that book, you can pay us a visit as well. realradioactive.org. And while you're there, look into becoming a podcast subscriber. By the way, all of this is at absolutely no charge. Our interest is simply to get the word out. If you'd like to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And remember, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. Remember that no gift is too large or too small. To find out more, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org or give us a call at 909-393-7100. Or if you're ready to participate, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of this information, just visit us at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.